Tim, good morning. How are you?
I am fine, thank you.
Well, thank you for joining us. Good job on the sunshine here this morning. We'll give you full credit where credit is due.
I'll take it.
Very good. The whole committee is going to meet tomorrow night, Tim?
Just we not do. Parts of you?
Not parts. We're going to, all nine members will meet in council chambers for a committee of the whole meeting chaired by council member Dorothy Granger.
Is there a technicality about whether you call it the whole committee or the committee of the whole?
It is called committee of the whole.
Okay. And what what might you be speaking of that's earth-shaking tomorrow?
We have two items on our agenda, both of them dealing with historic preservation, and one will deal with a single family residence on Vermilia Avenue, which is south of town, down in the area of Black Lumber, Wee Willie's, that
right, mm-hmm. right across the street from Sunoco.
That's right. this is a home that was built in the 50s in a neighborhood that had been built in probably in the early 1920s. Used to be the rental office, as I recall, for the Vermilia Park trailer court.
What effect, Tim, does a historic designation have on whatever you designate SOAP be?
What it basically does is it sets the exterior of the property, think about it, just in perpetuity, so that modifications to the home on the exterior would have to be approved by the Historic Preservation Commission.
No, I'm not being goofy here, but at some point everything's going to be historic, right?
Well, that's true.
A historic district. Everything's going to fit into that. Is there a general cutoff? You say if something's 50 years old, 40 years old, 30, what qualifies that? Or do people petition and say, hey, we need to make this a historic?
There's a really a floating number, but 50 years is pretty much what they look at. For example, when the state went through and did the most recent survey, they used that 50-year window to basically say that, you know, these are notable structures and should be considered. They're not saying they're historic per se, but what they're saying is that they were built in a period of time where there may be significant, for lack of a better word, ambiance about them.
So they don't care what it costs to maintain them? They don't care what it costs to upkeep them? They just want it to be like...
It doesn't do that that way.
Okay.
No. If a person has a house that was built in 1950 and they decide they're not going to do anything to it for the next 50 years, there's really not much that can be done about that. But if somebody has a house that was built in 1950 and they want to add a second story to it, for example, and change its character dramatically, then, you know, people would think about that. They would think about that. So it's a way to kind of preserve the way things look when they were built at that time.
It is possible to make changes, but I've got to go before the Historic Commission in order to get permission to do that?
It depends on what you're going to do, but typically, I would say yes.
Okay.
You were going to modify the exterior of the structure. So
by modify the exterior, you're talking about what color paint I use too?
No, not necessarily, but windows.
Design.
You're changing window sizes.
All right.
You're changing siding materials, roofing materials, that sort of thing. So, you know, for example, if you had a house that was built in 1955, I pretty much could guarantee you that it would have an asphalt shingle roof, what they call a three-tab shingle roof. And if you decided you wanted to put on a standing seam metal roof, that would be different than what was being used at the time in 1955. So you would probably have to have permission to do that.
Now, one of the other areas that's involved in this historic preservation is what we call Restaurant Row. So is that up for
correct.
Consideration too?
Yes, that is something separate from Vermilia. Vermilia is one structure that they're looking at. Restaurant Row is the second piece of legislation we will be discussing. And that includes what we do refer to as Restaurant Row. So
now that's over on
4th Street,
right?
Grant to Dunn.
Grant East to...
Dunn Street.
Dunn Street, that's correct. On the...
Well, I ate there the other night. I was hungry.
There you go. It takes in the properties on the east side of Dunn Street, south of 4th Street. So because there's two historic homes in that area there across from the restaurant.
So is it just the two homes or is it everything on those blocks?
It's everything on 4th Street, and it will take in the Episcopal Church and then come back around to 4th Street. Yeah.
And this is up for discussion, or this is just done and dusted, and you're just putting the bows and ribbons on it?
No, this is a committee meeting, so what will happen...
You're introducing, right?
That's correct. Well, it's been introduced last week. That is first reading. This week, tomorrow evening, will be committee of the whole, which means we will have presentation from the staff. Staff will have an opportunity to answer questions from the council. The public is invited, so the public can come and discuss the issue for or against, and then we come back to the council for a recommendation.
What about the property owners themselves? Do they get a chance to speak to this?
Yes, of course. Property owners have been involved. They've been involved in the discussions in the Historic Preservation Commission. They've been probably working with staff. They have that opportunity to work with staff.
Okay.
So it's an open process.
If they don't show up at your meeting to protest this, is it a done deal?
That's an open question. We'll have to see how council members feel about it.
Well, ask Keith if he's going to organize the protest.
Yeah. No.
People come and speak for and against.
Tim Mayer is our guest this morning. The city councilman checks in every Tuesday morning just after 8:05, 7:30 showtime tomorrow night. What other thing?
Well, the big ad in the paper today about Jack Hopkins.
There you go. Tim Mayer getting some local press, local media coverage.
We have started the process for the Hopkins funding cycle for 2016. We had an organizational meeting a week ago wherein we discussed how we want to go forward, and this year we're going a little bit outside of our comfort zone, I would call it, because typically what Jack Hopkins funding has been for is for unique projects. So agency would have to come forward and say, we want to serve this population in this way, and it would have to have been something that had not been done before. And what we have found is that the agencies that we have been dealing with over the years really need the money in some cases for operational expenses, pay the rent, pay the gas bill, pay staff. So this year we have expanded it to consider that opportunity and give the agencies that avenue to explore as well. This is kind of a test year for us to try to do that, to see how it works, because we don't want agencies to become totally reliant on, one source of funding, which would be, in this case, would be the Hopkins Fund. We don't want, an agency have, the only way they could survive is they could have to come every year for that money. So we're being careful about how we're going about it, but, we want to give the agencies that opportunity, so... So the process will is on its way. Agencies are being contacted, and they will then be able to submit proposals, and then the committee will meet and review those proposals. Before we have a public hearing, we'll have a public hearing where the agencies can come and make their presentation, answer questions, and then we will allocate the money.
Does the committee ever seed the process in any way by saying we are particularly interested in someone coming forward with this kind of grant application?
We do. We haven't done it this year, but in the past we have put an emphasis on, say, children and senior citizens or hunger. So we do try to encourage different opportunities and different ways to serve people.
But the bottom line is there's just not enough money for everything.
That's true. That is absolutely true.
Tim Mayer is our guest this morning. It's a busy day for the city. You've got some water sludge issues, cell tower issues. You guys have busy, busy days.
They've been busy. I do know about the sludge issue.
Anything to worry about there?
No, it was a broken piece of equipment, a shaft on a machine that basically screens out solid materials from the what I want to call it, the waste stream.
Right.
Broke and the machine basically overflowed and discharged into the creek. So, but the city utility was very vigilant and also very forthcoming. They went directly to IDEM. It's actually occurred, I believe, on Friday evening.
Yeah, they got them on speed dial.
They do.
A little rain, IDEM, a little sludge, a little this, a little of that.
IDEM was aware of it, and the protocol that they used to clean up the mess was good. So IDEM is, again, working with them to make sure that everything is right. And the utility has fixed the equipment and will go forward. So they're also looking at ways to monitor more carefully in the future. So that's important as well.
And Tim, it's
a fairly unique breakdown in the life of that
right.
plant, which was Dillman Road. So it just happens, unfortunately.
Yeah, we'll just make sure it gets cleaned up. That's all we're worried about, right?
That's correct. All right. That's correct.
And Tim, what about the cell tower and where it's going to
land? Not in my backyard, buddy.
Yeah, well, that's part of the issue.
Gee, actually the council is not involved with that issue.
Why is that?
I think it's because it's an agreement between the City Parks Department and the utility that wants to provide that.
So they don't need your guidance on any of that?
No, because they're not selling anything.
Okay.
I'm not sure.
I think people are asking the question is why can't the city get involved with this? Why are we dealing with it this way?
Right.
But there's going to be money coming to either the parks or the city off this, right?
It'll go through the Parks Department.
So the Parks correct. Department is going to make money on the property.
They'll be collecting, not selling.
Right.
Is there a difference? There sounds like.
I just don't know. I did ask staff if this would be coming before City mm-hmm. Council, and the answer was no, it would not.
So interesting.
Now,
kind of where my knowledge ends right there.
Before we let you go, you've had a checkered start to your City Council year with getting organized and no meetings and things like that, and you've been so overworked, you're going to take a week off now?
Spring break is next week, and
they're wrapping up ISTEP.
Always take spring break. So, yes, we're going to work real hard tomorrow night, and then we're going to take a week off and then come back. I believe it's on the 23rd. I don't have the...
So that means we'll talk to you on the 22nd, or are you going to be around next week for just some general banter?
Yes, we'll take a break next week.
Okay. Well, enjoy for me, too. Don't forget the little people when you're gone.
Suntan lotion, Tim.
That's right.
We come back to work on the 23rd.
Perfect. Well, we'll look forward to seeing what was accomplished on Thursday. We appreciate the preview as always. Safe travels wherever it may be you're going, if that's hypothetically the case or not.
We'll be hanging around.
All right. Well, good. If you get bored, you can call us. We'll be here.
We'll do.
If you have any heavy lifting at tomorrow night's meeting that you didn't see that you'll need to clear up, you can call us.
That sounds good.
We'll be here.